Good morning. As I said, I'm going to do my level best to not gab on today. It's not going to be normal service, not a normal message. Just a few thoughts I wanted to lay before us, but I've been looking forward to this for a while now. We've tried to get this together, and it just hasn't until this time. I was just thinking a little while back, I always say my cutoff year that I started coming to the church, I think, is 8 years, but I think I've been saying that for the last couple of years. I don't actually know how long it's been, but I think it's been nearing probably 9. And I remember early on, I don't think that there's ever been a time that I remember, maybe I'm wrong, but that there was a baby dedication since I started coming. And mostly that's because we haven't had any babies to dedicate. And over the years, I've had just offhand topics or discussion with the board and different people, and I was like, not spiritually, but we as a church are in trouble if we don't have babies eventually. I said, just statistically, we're going to die off as a church if we don't have new life in here, and there's nothing we could do about that. I can't change the fact, but I started praying. I'm like, Lord, if you want this church to continue and you want Corona to be a place where your body resides, then let's have new life in here, and I pray that you would have marriages, you bring marriages, young couples, and you would bring us babies. And within the last few years, we've had a lot of young couples, and we have a lot of babies and a lot of kids, and it's exciting, and honestly, it's a thrill to me. And so a couple months ago, I was praying, and I wasn't even thinking about that, and the Lord said, you know what, I want you to propose the idea of having a Sunday morning where parents have an opportunity to dedicate their kids. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, we'll see how that goes. I don't know if we even do baby dedications here. I grew up with them at different churches I attended, but I said, okay, Lord, I'll throw it out there and see. And we had a great amount of people show interest. There were a few that were going to participate today that couldn't make it because plans changed. I told them, you don't have to be here to do it, or we can reschedule with you. Just so you know, if you have a child and after today you're like, you know what, I would like to do this as well, we can have another one. It can be in October, it can be November, and it doesn't have to be anything that we wait another year for. And in fact, you don't even have to wait till tomorrow to do it. The reality is we don't have to have this morning, as I mentioned before, for you to do this thing. But it is an opportunity for you to publicly and allow your church family to be a part of it. But if you don't, then you can do this in your heart. And whether you're a single parent, whether you are a husband and wife, and maybe, and I believe that for some of you have older kids, if you've got a child that is older and you didn't do that as a baby, it's never too late to dedicate your children to the Lord. And the reason why I say that is because I had asked Ray to close with that song this morning, because surrender is a moment where you choose to let go of your will and to let another take charge, right? That is the idea of surrender, is to let go, to release, and to lay aside my will or my strength and my power for somebody else's. And in this case, a baby dedication is simply a saying that I want to release my child into the care of God. And I'm just going to mention a few things. I really hate writing things down. I don't want to sound mechanical as I read. But there were a few thoughts that I did write down that I wanted to mention this morning. And if you particularly are dedicating your child this morning, maybe take a few things that I say today, and if they apply to you and they're an encouragement to you, then great. But I really am excited about today. So the significance of this morning, and I wrote a few thoughts, today is a public and a private statement that you are giving over your child to God. And it is an acknowledgement, as it says in Jeremiah, that I knew you before you were born, that I formed you in your mother's womb. When your child was born, in every way, that hospital gave you the authority of parenthood, right? In a way, they released their child to you. There were certain restrictions that only mom and dad had, that you guys were able to be with the kids, and you had to give okay for certain information. Your names will be on the documents, right? You guys are given, in that position, the authority, meaning everyone acknowledges you are mom and dad. And that is your responsibility. And that is a new track of life for you. But what we do today is an acknowledgement that I recognize that even though I'm mom and dad, and even though I have legal rights to my child, ultimately your child's not yours. And I hope this morning that this will also be an encouragement to you, because there is no safer place than having your child in the hands of a known God and an unknown future. I don't say this because we live in fear, but today's world is a very difficult thing to release your kids into. And they go out there like sheep and to the slaughter. And I am not a parent. I don't have a child that I'm raising that I understand that. But I do remember that my parents dedicated my siblings and myself, and I don't remember when I got dedicated, I was too young, but I can't tell you guys how many times as an adult I've made a decision, and it may not have always made sense to my dad or my mom. And I remember my dad has told me countless times, he said, when you were a child, I gave you to the Lord, and right now I have to trust that he will lead and take care of you in this, because I don't know what the right answer is, and I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. But I trust God because I gave you to him. I had a brother that passed away of a unique cancer. And I remember through over a year of just battling that, day after day, my dad releasing my brother into God's care again and again. And particularly the last month of his life, to watch a father who had absolutely no power to change the outcome continue to surrender and to surrender what he assumed would be a lot longer life, but the care of his child that he gave into God's hands early on back to God. And I don't know what God's plans are for your kids, and I believe you have dreams and hopes for them, but today is a moment where you say, I honestly have no idea what the next few years are going to hold for your child. And it's wonderful to know that God does. He knows exactly what your child will face. He knows what part you'll play in that. And I just want you to remember that. To understand that my child is not my own is also a freeing thing. But I want to mention three people this morning that I thought of in Scripture. We're not going to go to anything, but I want to just relay them, that I had them on my heart. And in fact, I told my wife, I said, when I was preparing this, she named three of the people that I picked, and we hadn't even discussed it. She's like, you know, those three would be great. And I'm like, I already have them written down. She's like, perfect. That worked out. I guess we're on the same track here. And the first one I thought about is Hannah. This woman who was married to her husband, and the husband had two wives, and she saw day after day as the second wife, or the first wife, I guess it was, had child after child, and just the family grew and grew, but here Hannah remained without a child, and this grieved her. And I don't think we have any multiple wives here. That's probably a good thing. But just imagine growing up with your friend or a sibling. You guys are both married, and you see your sibling or your friend have baby after baby, and that's your heart's desire, and have to go through this. And Hannah is just grieved. She's stricken with grief, and they yearly go to the temple to offer sacrifice. She leaves her husband. She leaves wife number one, and she goes into the temple. You remember what she was doing? She was crying out to God, and it wasn't just a silent prayer. She was weeping. She was crying out to God to the point that Eli comes over and says, hey, you want to keep it down? Are you drunk? What are you doing? You're acting crazy. I'm imagining her on her face sobbing, her clothes getting wet, and just screaming out to God, please remember me. Hear my prayer. I want a child. But I remember as you read through it, at a moment she stops and she says, God, if you give me a child, what is it that she says she will do? She said, he will be yours. This is extreme. Understand today, I don't think there's any of you that are praying this prayer and say, God, if I have a baby, I'm giving it to the church. I'm going to send it to Corona United Brethren. They're just going to live here and take care of the church. That's not what this story is about. It was the heart of this woman that said, I want a child so bad, but I also understand there is absolutely nothing I can do to get a child on my own. And if it comes, it'll come by the hand of God. And you know what, God, if you do it, he's yours. She's yours. Whoever it is, I will dedicate them to you and they will be your child. Well, not too long after that, she finds she is pregnant and God gives her the desire of her heart. And does she fulfill her promise? Yes, she sends her child to go to Eli and to serve at the temple. As I said, this is not a story about what you need to send your kids to go do. It's a story that she said, you know what? This is what I want. I want a child, but I also want that child to be in the hands of God. And if you give me this child, I will promise to dedicate this child to you. And she did. And Samuel, who is her offspring, would go on to lead Israel and two, anoint the first king. What a prayer. What if she hadn't given him to the Lord? Would Samuel have been a part of that? Would Samuel have accomplished the things that he did? I don't think so. The second one, and most of you probably thought of this even before I mentioned the name, but you have Abraham, right? You remember Abraham and Sarah, who had been given a promise by God. They said, you will have a child, and this child will be from you. It will not be adopted. It will not come from anyone else. It will come from your body, and that child will be the father of nations. Well, Sarah and Abraham were too old, and they said, that's not possible, but God, we hear you. And eventually Sarah even laughs. We do know the story that they try their own methods, but God's promise is his promise, right? No matter how much they mess up, he made a promise and a guarantee, and he said, you will have a child. And finally the day comes with all of the chaos, and Sarah gets pregnant. And after this child is born, not too long after, what happens? God says, I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to go to the mountain, and there I want you to kill your child and sacrifice him to me. Another story that's very extreme, and I highly doubt that God has spoken to any of you that this is your next step. This is not about what God called him to, about the spirit of the heart of Abraham, who understood that God had made a promise. And finally, after waiting and waiting and trusting, God says, now I want you to take your son. And he reiterates, your only son, and I want you to take his life. We read the story and have it memorized. Those of you who have kids tell me that that would be something that you could do. Tell me that in that moment you wouldn't say, maybe I heard God wrong. Right? How many of you have a son? I'm not going to ask you whether you would take your son because you might say, well, some days. No. Joe, maybe you. Maybe Joe, maybe Ben. Ben's not here, so you can use Ben. No. Is there nothing in this life that is more precious than that child sitting with you today? And is there not anything that you wouldn't give up for that child? Is any of your homes, any of your stuff more precious? No. And for Abraham in this moment, God said, give your son, your only son, up to me. And I always love that story because honestly, I don't think it has anything to do with Isaac. Isaac's a child. He doesn't get it. He says, Dad, we've got wood. We've got the altar. All that's left is we need the sheep. We need the goat. Where's the goat? And he's like, okay, son, come here. Let me just tie you up here. Isaac doesn't get what's going on here. He is not in on the story. He's just being led by his father. And his father, who probably at this point has tears running down his eyes, lifts his son with the knowledge that one of two things are true. Either, after I'm done killing my son, God will raise him from the dead, or God will give me another son. What a horrible thought that I might have to live the rest of my life knowing that I laid down my son on an altar and killed him. And yet Abraham does it willingly and surrenders, and truly in that moment believes this is the end for his child. And when at the last moment he goes to kill his son, the angel stops him and says, do not kill your son. And what that must have felt like. I don't know how Abraham explained all this to his wife. I don't know how she would have felt about all this, but Abraham was obedient. The last person that went through my head, and we're not given a lot of picture into the way that she felt later on, but I think of Mary, who was told at a young age that she was going to conceive and have a baby, and it wasn't even going to be Joseph's, meaning Joseph would not be the father of this baby. It would be supernaturally born, and she would conceive, and she would be the mother of the Savior. But what comes along with that, right? It's not just this wonderful moment where Mary gets to be the mother of the Savior of the world. There's going to be a day that she's going to have to stand aside and watch her son killed, and to have to endure and take all the suffering of the sins of the world. And I was thinking through these three and just considering, those are extreme circumstances. Why couldn't I just give you a normal story? Because those are honestly those moments where what God was doing, particularly for Abraham, was in that moment, God knew the love of Abraham, and he also knew that what he wanted from Abraham is for his affections for his child to be smaller than his affections for God. And as a parent, I imagine that your love for your children is as great as can be, but what God wants from you today is to see your child in light of these stories is that he wants your love and affections for him to be greater than your child. Because I promise you this, if that is true, you will love your kids well and rightly, and you will lead them rightly. There is no safer place for your children than in the hands of God. A few other things that I wrote down here, and then we will go into it. I said that God will have his way in your children's lives, whether you like it or not. Okay, understand that, is that you in yourself cannot really stand in God's way if he has a plan and a path for your child. But what I did recognize is that you can either be a part of it or you can be pushed out of the way. And as a parent, I imagine you would like to be a part of God's plan. And what God has deemed and destined for your child cannot be thwarted, but you can try to get in the way or stop it. And I want to encourage you to be a part of it, not to try to stop it. I also want to mention this. The responsibility of fulfilling God's plans for your kids is not in your hands. But understand this too, and as I said at the beginning, your children are not your own. You are stewards of them. Therefore, because they're in God's hands, does not take away the responsibility of you to lead them well. But you can be encouraged knowing that you don't have to fulfill God's purpose in their life, that God will have his way, but you be obedient and hear from him. As a parent now, most of you have little children and you can only conceive what God has in store for them. And it's exciting to see that God has a new generation, a young generation, and I love the parents in this church. I've never really watched you parent. I don't see you guys week to week, but I trust you, and I know you love your kids. And I want this morning to be a precious time for you, but I want it to be a serious time. When I announced the possibility of a baby dedication, there was something I didn't do. I didn't come and find you, unless I'm mistaken. I don't think that I sought any of you guys out to ask if you were willing to dedicate your kids. And the reason is because that is a choice that you have to make. It is not one that you're like, well, we have a ceremony, let's just do it. Today is dedication day, let's bring our kids and get it done with. No, this was a moment that I wanted you to decide. That is why I've not pressured those of you. I have said, we're going to have it, and you can choose to do it because it is an important step and it is a big commitment. And I want you to remember that today, that this is not manipulated, this is not forced, this is of your own choice and choosing. Two scriptures this morning, then we're going to go into it. I wrote down here in Matthew 7:11, if you would like to read that with me, I'm just going to read this real quick. As you start at 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything do to others which you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. What I love about that is he's saying, even in your imperfection as parents, because every one of you and all of us know we are not perfect, and you're not going to always get it right. But what he's saying there is you love your kids, right? And you know what your kids love. You care about them and you give them good gifts. You take care of them. You give them their favorite snack. Whatever that is, you love spending time with them. And he's saying if you, who are imperfect and oftentimes failing, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God? That is why this morning is wonderful, because what I wrote down here is that I know you love your kids, but I also know that God loves them more. And that God knows them more. He formed them. He knows every hair on their heads. He also knows the habits that they will have down the road that you're not aware of yet that you will one day have to face. He knows everything about them and every choice and every path. Hebrews 3:4 says, "Even for every house is built by someone, but every builder, or all the builder, and of all things is God." Meaning that, and what I want to encourage you is that you're responsible for your household, but understand everything else is God's and that God surrounds it. So what I want to do this morning is I'm going to do this individually for you. I asked each of you as couples to prepare a prayer, and hopefully you remembered. If not, that's all right. But I asked you to prepare a prayer specially for your child or children. And whether you did a prayer for all of your kids in one or one individually, I want to give you a chance to share that publicly, but be one unto God. So this is what we're going to do. This morning, we went out and bought a gift for you to remind you of today and to be a constant reminder to you of what you're doing in this moment. I also have a certificate for you, and what I would ask you to do is it has my name at the bottom just because I went and got them for you, and you can remember who supported you up here. It has your child's name on it, but it has two blanks, and those blanks are for you as parents. What I want to encourage you to do is at some point to write your names on it, and when your kids are old enough to understand what you've done for them, to give them the certificate as a reminder that you gave them over to the Lord's and for their continuing trust that God will take care and lead them. And so you will be given both of those. And so this morning we have two families, and we will eventually have two more. But for those of you who are here today, I'm going to invite first Derek and Aaron to come up with your kids and join us. And another thing I want to have you do, and I know it's not much space up here, if you are a loved one or a family member related, or even if you came as a very dear friend and they chose you to invite you, then I want you to come up and support them. So I'm going to have them come stand in the middle up here, and if you're related to them, I want you just to come and you can line up along. I want to acknowledge your role in their life. So if you know them, or particularly if you're related to them and you're part of their family, I want you to come up and join them. Going to go to the aisle here so I'm out of the way. Wow, that's awesome. You guys make up half our church today. So first I want you to kind of, for you parents, I want you to just look down the line. And that's awesome. That's your team. That's your support system. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do is allow them to be a part of your life. If you're not already, I'm sure you are. But acknowledge that they're a part of your life, that God's put them in your life to encourage you, to help you, to be there. And for the rest of you, encourage you to remember that you're here for them, that these kids that they're dedicating today, that you're a part of that. But also, I want to encourage you to trust them as parents. Let them be parents and let them lead their kids in the ways that God has called them, but to be a support. And more than anything, I ask you guys to pray for them. This step, I believe that they have been raising their kids exactly the way God wants, but in this moment that they've chosen to do this, pray for them especially now, that they would hear the voice of God, that they would lead their kids, their beautiful kids, and what a special time. So what I'm going to have you guys doing, we have Charlie, June, and Kit, am I correct there? And they are going to be dedicated this morning, and so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to pray. And you don't have to, but if you have trouble projecting, if you want to grab a microphone, you're welcome. If you just want to pray without it, you don't need a microphone. But I want you guys to share that, and I want you as a family and for us to agree with you. When you're done, I'd like to pray for you as parents and for you as kids and have you as a church to join me in that. But what a special moment. So as you guys, however you want to pray, if it's for one individually each time or all of them together, that's between you guys.
I read yesterday, and I'll try and do it without crying, but I've seen other grown men cry in this church, so I don't care.
Amen.
Yep.
So Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
So, 5:1,
to looking up the translation. So it's be therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers is translated to an imitator, and children is translated into a daughter or a son or a child, but the base of it is vindication. And the definition of vindication is proof that someone or something is right and reasonable and justified. So a child is proof that something is right, reasonable, and justified. And dear goes really deep, but I just took the surface of it. It's translated to beloved. And even deeper than that, to love, to breathe after, to dote, a lover. So for them, wherever they are, I translated it kind of my own way. Kids here. The imitators of God, sons and daughters who are marked as right, good, proof of intentional love, sons and daughters that are beloved, breathed after, doted upon of a father who is preoccupied with the gratification of you, a physical appetite for you.
It's beautiful. Church, would you stand with me? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Aaron and Derek and their three precious children. And Father, you are the giver of life. And Father, each one of these children were knitted by your hands. They are not a mistake. They have plans, Lord. They have a future. One, Lord, that you have given them. And Father, I thank you for Aaron and Derek, Lord, taking the step today, Lord, to publicly, Lord, and in our presence, Lord, make a commitment to trust you and to surrender, Father, the most precious thing that they have. Father, an unknown future, a scary future. Father, a difficult world to live in. Father, they don't have to be afraid. Because, Father, these kids have been in your hands all along. But today, Lord, is a heart release. It is a moment, Lord, where they choose to surrender that which is precious to them into your hands, acknowledging that they've been gifted and given the responsibility of stewarding these children well. Oh, Lord, it is evident that they love them. And, Father, I pray for supernatural wisdom and guidance and help for this family, that they would follow your ways, that they would hear for your voice. Lord, that these children, Lord, from a very young age would hear from you, and you would make them and use them, Lord, to become the children you have meant them to be. And, Lord, I pray that there would be days, Father, that they would look back and remember this moment. Father, that Aaron and Derek, Lord, would see in the days that there's difficulty, when there's sickness, when there's pain, when there's confusion, Father, that in those moments they would remember today that you are not confused, that you saw all that is coming, and in the days of joy and in the days of grief and the days of hardship, Father, they would be reminded of your goodness. And that their children are yours, and that you love them far more than they ever could. And I pray that today would just be a small step into a daily lifestyle of surrender, that as they watch and raise their kids, Lord, that they would trust you each and every moment. Lord, we thank you for this family and the joy they've brought to our church family. And I pray for their members of their family, Lord, that you would help them to be an encouragement, to be there in the times that Derek and Aaron need it. Father, that they would be a support that you've called them to be, Lord, that you would help them to be near, Father, but help them to also trust. Mm-hmm. Help them to entrust Derek and Aaron and these three, Lord, into your care, to trust that they hear from you and that the choices they make, Father, help them to sit in peace, knowing, Father, that you're leading. And let them just be aware, Father, be moved by your Spirit, Lord, to be what they need, Father, at different seasons of life. We thank you for this family. We bless them. We trust them to you. We love you, Lord, in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Derek and Aaron, we would like to present you with a gift as a church family. And then here are your three certificates.
Thank you.
And your gift.
Thank you.
And thank you for allowing us to be a part of this special time of dedication. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
All right, we have Corey and Brooke, and Everett and Georgie, Georgia, I'm going to call it Georgie. And then the same thing, I would ask if you are willing and able, and you are a part of their family, that you would come up to support them, and just so that we can see their support team. Can I just say, what's special is I got married in May, and there's something really cool about seeing two families together. I don't know Derek and Aaron, I don't know your guys' family very well, so I don't really know the relation, but I do know both these families, and I do know which side they come from. And it's really cool to see the combining and joining of two families, and particularly in this case that I know of, both sets of parents are such a support team, that you guys are full of wisdom, full of love, full of faith, and I just love the joining of these two. All I remember of Corey is we grew up in the same homeschooling group, and my memory of him is I have a picture of me and him in choir, little kids in our front row singing together, and that's all I remember of him. And then Brooke's been going here longer than I have, and for a little while, she's pretty much close to my age, but she was a part of our youth group here, so it's really exciting to see them with two kids. Wow. That's exciting. We are so happy for you guys and just the life that you guys have lived. Thank you for the example you've been. And in the same way, I've asked Corey and Brooke to prepare, whether it's just something to say or whether it's a prayer, just as a personal dedication or word today. So,
Father God, thank you for the gift of Georgia and Brooke. We recognize, Lord, that they don't belong to us, they belong to you, and trust you with their lives, Lord. We pray that they would know you and love you, and we ask that you would show us how to teach them to follow you, Lord. In your name we pray.
And just as I did last time, I want to encourage Brooke and Corey, I want you guys to remember the people next to you, to never fail to hear them, to see them, to reach out to them. That's why they're here. God has put them in your life to be an encouragement, to be a strength, and to be wise counselors. And the same thing for you as parents. I ask you guys to be there for them when they need it, but to also trust them as parents. Let God lead them, to raise them, to teach them. And be available. Let the Spirit use you when needed and know when to step back and allow them to hear from the Lord. Thank you guys for coming and supporting them today. Let's pray. Church, will you stay with me one more time? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Corey and Brooke. Lord, I thank you for bringing them together. What a beautiful couple, Father, that you have prepared. Father, we thank you for these wonderful children, Father, for Georgia and Everett. Father, we thank you for gifting them, these children. And Lord, we all again acknowledge that, Father, these kids are yours. And I thank you for Corey and Brooke taking the step, Lord, to surrender their kids into your care. Father, there is no safer place than in your will. Father, there is no greater place than in your will. And Father, these precious children, Father, a gift from you. Lord, you knit them in Brooke, Lord. You raised them, Father. You formed them. And Father, you've gifted Corey and Brooke this opportunity to be stewards of these precious children. And Father, I pray, Father, in the days ahead, that you would lead and guide them as they lead and guide these children. That they would be wise parents, full of wisdom, full of love, full of grace. And Father, I pray that they would daily be reminded of today, that they would continually surrender the care of their children to you, trusting that you know a week from now, you know a month from now, you know the end and the beginning of their lives, Father, and they can trust you. But help them to know, Lord, when it is time to make decisions, when it is time to do certain things, Father, it is in your hands. But Lord, let your Spirit speak to them. Let them never forget, Father, who gave them these children. And I pray that they would be faithful to daily commit them to you. And we pray for the family, Father, that they would know when to be an encouragement, when to speak life, when to show grace, Father, and when they're needed and when they need to step aside. Help them to be wise counselors. We pray you surround this family as in the same way as Derek and Aaron's family. Father, surround these families, hold them, keep them close, lead them, guide them, Father, be their strength in the days ahead. And when they're not sure what to do, Father, I pray that you'd speak to them. Father, you are our good Father, and you love these children more than we ever could. So as a church, we commit, Lord, to love both of these families here today, to love and cherish them, to pray for them, to encourage them, and to be here if needed. But we entrust them into you, Father, to your loving care. They're your children, Father. Thank you for this day, for this moment. And we trust you, Father, in your wonderful name. Amen. Yes. Thank you, guys. I just want to close this morning with a thought, because there's many parents here that maybe have already taken the step or haven't, but I just want to encourage you to be reminded of today, that you see their example and that you also act on that in your own kids' lives. Some of you have adult children. This is still something that you have to continuously do, is entrust them in the Lord's care. And there will be days that you want to hold on, that you want to pull them back, that you want to make decisions for them because you know best. But I encourage you guys to entrust them in the Lord's care, to allow them to hear the Lord's voice, but also be wise counselors to them. And there will be days that you have physically let go, but there will be days that you haven't emotionally let go. And I just hope that you remember today that you can entrust your kids in the loving care of God. We thank you to the families who have done this morning. We love you. We support you. Know that if you need anything, we're here for you. And we are cheering you on as you fulfill God's purpose in your kids' lives. So God bless you all. Lord, lead us and guide us. Give us a good week. Help us to daily surrender our lives and those things that are most precious to us for our love for you. Because there's no greater place to have all of that we love in your hands. God, go with us. Bless us. Be near to us. Speak to us. In your wonderful name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. Congrats.